Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com to save on your legal needs and gain access to a network of legal plan attorneys for guidance. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and use offer code HAMNATION to receive $10 off at checkout. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 154. Tim Duffy visits with Joe Rudy at K3LR. Hello, everybody. This is Bob Heil, K9EID, and we're all back from field day. We've all had a couple of showers, and all the radios are kind of cooled down, and we're here to have some fun, and we have some great things going on tonight. A very, very special guest that you're all going to enjoy. Joe Rudy is here tonight. If you don't know about Joe, you might want to check it out. Joe will tell us all about one of his careers that he had. He's one of probably the only ham radio guy I know has got 3 golden gloves and lots of other stuff. So he knows how to play baseball, but he also knows what to do with a key. We'll learn about that. Tim Duffy's with us, and of course, Gordo. Don, how are you doing, Don? Let's go down and see what's going on real quick. You doing okay?
Hey, doing great down here in spite of their best efforts. Everything's going fine. Didn't get to do any field day, unfortunately. Had too many other things going on. My niece and nephew have their birthdays that weekend, so I missed a whole lot of those when they were younger, and so now I'm kind of having to make up for it. But anyway, we're doing a little bit of HF mobile in the car, driving back and forth to work. Bob, back to you.
Oh, great. Great. Gordo, how did you fare on field day? You and Suze made it okay, and you had good food and lots of good 6 meters, right?
There was plenty of 6 meter activity, Bob. But you know, the big deal today, every year at Kerr's, the Hawaiian bacon is coming in.
Wow.
Finally, every year. And next week, we're going to do our fluid test, and we're going to show you how radio waves sometimes, as you can see here, don't travel in a straight line. So we're going to be working the Hawaiian beacon all this July 4th on 2 and 432. Back to you, Bob.
Oh, how lucky. And we've got Tim Duffy, and Tim has some very special guests, as I said. Tim, how are you tonight? We're going to be back to you in a few minutes, but hello to you. Check and see how things are going.
Everything is going well here in West Middlesex, Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, and we've got 2 out-of-town visitors here that stumbled into the K3LR Radio Shack this evening. We got Joe Rudy, NK7U, and Ray Novak, N9JA from ICOM America. They're both on their way up to the WRTC 2014. So we're excited to be on the show tonight, Bob.
Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. So get it all warmed up and we'll make it happen. But first, we've got a lot of things coming from Costa Mesa, by the way, of Gordon West. Take her away, Gordo.
All right. Thanks so much, Bob. And we'll get all of our lights adjusted here. And Victor, our main man behind the board tonight, if you'll go ahead and jump right into those shots. So we have a little bit of field day activity. The Citrus Belt Amateur Radio Club, there's Jody on the left. Look at that. They had a fan, and you can just move those right on up, Victor. They had a great field day setup. Look at that case on the left-hand side. Boy, that was a nice one. Hey, I'll tell you, pop-up tents were a big hit for field day. If you didn't have one, you broiled. All right, keep her rolling, Victor. And thanks to Jody for these photos. The Big Bear Amateur Radio Club up at 6,200 feet. We're working cues. That one looks like in the nice comfort of a mobile home. On the right-hand side, you can see the operators hard at it. And keep her rolling on up there, Victor. What a nice setup. A lot of nice portable stations. And these are the operators up among the big pines up in the mountains. All right, let's now go to our third set of shots here for a little field day activity in Southern California. Hey, talk about a fun trailer. There it is. Loads of field day and additional field day operators. Look at this big beam, bottom left-hand side coming up. They put it together. It came out right on the nose first try, and it put out a monster signal. All right, a little bit more. And so field day from Jody takes the Independent Radio Club in Green Valley up 7,000 feet. They need almost oxygen up there. Little card table set up, solar panel, and they are on the air. And let's keep on going up there. And they had all of the amenities, plus trying to get a 40-meter slinky to do as well as a beam. I don't think so. And they certainly had the real estate, though, for their 160-meter wire dipole. So field day, a little bit of everything for everyone. And for VHF and UHF work, including 6 meters, we had a big 6-meter Innov antenna up. And boy, the band opened up to all over the West Coast, all the way up to British Columbia. So field day was fun. And we're looking forward to those of you that have field day photos to go ahead and send them on in. So, Bob, back to you, and let's learn more about what everybody did for field day.
All right, super. Well, I got lucky. I turned on the old transceiver, and what happened was...
All right, well, I'm not on this Wednesday, thank God. So I have a week off. I'll see you the following Wednesday.
Okay, well, you can say hello to the Ham Nation crew, because it's going on the old recorder.
Oh, very good. Hello to everybody out there on Ham Nation. This is November Victor 9 Lima.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot. It's good to hear you on the field day. This is fun. This is K9EID in the Ozarks.
All right, thanks, Bob. Nice to talk to you later. Good luck.
Okay. I caught her, and it was really crazy. I came out of the field day site going out to grab some food for some of them, and on the radio, I ended up being the first contact for Jerry, her boyfriend, who's got that incredible contest station up in Wisconsin, and we got to chat with him. He was only 30 over 9 in my mobile, so that was it. But I spent time with the club here in Springfield. I'll have all the pictures next week of the Southwest Missouri Club. It's an amazing club, and we'll talk more about that and let you know what's going to go on. And also, for anybody in the Ozarks, I want to say this before we get too far down the pike today on the show. Gordo and I are going to start a radio broadcast Saturday here in Springfield, and it's on the Gun Show. Matt Canovey's a local guy that really is into protecting yourself and so on. He's got his own range, but he's going to have the last hour devoted to ham radio. And so Gordon and I are going to kind of open that up next Saturday at 9 o'clock Central. But you can hear his podcast. Just put in the Gun Show, Springfield, Missouri, and you'll see it all. But we're very excited about that, to bring amateur radio to a whole nother audience and get some more to help here in Springfield with their club and who knows where. So that's what's going on. Well, as I told you, we have some really special guests tonight, and I thank Tim Duffy for putting this together. Tim, we're going to take this out to Pennsylvania and let you tell us all about who your guest is and what is going on at that big contest station. And I bet you had some fun on field day. K3LR from K9EID.
Hello, Bob. It's great to be here again on Ham Nation. And we're really happy to be part of the session here tonight. And I've got a special guest, Joe Rudy, NK7U, who is, he's got quite a station out in Baker City, Oregon, and 2,200 miles away from where we are now. But before Joe got into building big-time radio stations, you had a big-time Major League Baseball career.
I was very fortunate. Grew up in a small town, started playing baseball, and by the time I was 10, 11 years old, I was playing in Little League, Babe Ruth, American Legion, and just got to play a lot of baseball in Central California. And got through high school, got signed by the old Kansas City A's. So you got to be old enough to remember that the Oakland A's used to be in Kansas City. My first year was in 1967 in Kansas City A's. And then in 68, we moved to Oakland. A bunch of young kids. I think our average on the field age when we moved to Oakland was 22 with Reggie Jackson, Catfish Hunter, Raleigh Fingers, all the guys that came along during that age, and sort of grew up together and got a pretty good ball club there in the 70s. Won three straight World Series and pretty, you know, sort of a elite company. Yankees are us and the Yankees are the only teams that ever won three in a row.
So when you were out on the road and playing baseball, did you ever take a radio along and have some fun?
I've been known to do that, yeah. No, I started back in probably, I would say 68, 69, started carrying the radio with me. Not 78, 79, because I got my license in 74, 75. Got an old Atlas 210X, had a nice little small power supply, and started carrying back then. The hotel windows you could open. And fishing pole and drop a line out the window with a tuner and worked a lot of stations. Later on, I had to go to back-to-back Hustler verticals, put into a dipole mode up against the windows because you couldn't open them anymore. But I always asked for the highest floor I could get on the north side of the hotel. And I was trying to work 100 countries before I retired. I think I got 88 confirmed before I retired.
So that's 88 countries confirmed from the hotel.
Room with 100 watts. That was a tough duty.
So you really don't need much of an antenna to have a good time in this hobby.
No, just button a chair. That's the whole key, is being there and being listening. And of course, I come back after a ball game. Most of the guys go down and have dinner or in the bar and have a few drinks. And I couldn't wait to get back up my room and fire up the radio and see what I could hear. And of course, being on the East Coast, a lot of the teams back there, I was fortunate enough to, you know, be able to get into Europe and those places from back there. But it was a great time. I really enjoyed it. And I think my wife enjoyed knowing that I wasn't down on the bar drinking.
Well, she knew where to find you. And that was upstairs in the room with a pair of headphones on and a key or a mic. And work in 88 countries that you got confirmed. Now, next week, you're going to be up in the Boston area with us, and I'll be up there as well, for the World Radio Team Championship 2014. And you're hosting a tour at a very famous baseball venue. Tell us about that.
I get to go to my favorite ballpark, and I haven't been back there for years. Unfortunately, I got to play there 1 year, and 1981, it was a strike year. It was a little shorter year, but Fenway Park in Boston, my favorite ballpark. And we're going to take a group up there. I'm not sure we're going to have 20 people. I think we got at least 20 signed up already, maybe 50 or more. But we're going to do a full tour of the ballpark, get to go in the Hall of Fame up on the monster up there. They put chairs up there, which is really neat. I haven't seen it since they remodeled the ballpark. So it's going to be a great tour, and get to go on the duck boats and go down the Charles River and drive around Boston a little bit just before we get to the ballpark. So it's going to be a great day.
So there's hams from over 30 countries that are coming to WRTC 2014. And, of course, I'm going to be up there next week on Ham Nation. We're going to interview some of the folks that are organizing this event. And WRTC hasn't been here since 1996, but you come along and you're hosting this VIP tour of one of the most famous ballparks that we have here in the United States and getting to show it off to a lot of DX hams. That's pretty cool.
It really is. Like I said, it's such a special ballpark, and all the players love going to Boston. Very knowledgeable fans there, and we get to go down on the field behind home plate. I think everybody will enjoy looking out there at the monster and getting a perspective of what the stadium looks like from down on the ground level. And then we're going to be up in the seats up there on the monster, I believe, during batting practice, which is a good shot of getting a few shots. The guys hit a lot of balls up there during batting practice. So just going to be an exciting day. I can't wait to show it off to everybody.
How far is it from home plate to the top of the monster?
Oh, boy. I think the wall itself is like 300 feet down the line. So it's probably you got to hit the ball probably 350 feet to get it up over the top there. So you got to get it high in the air. Let's put it that way.
Now, you've hit some home runs in this ballpark, right?
Yeah, I actually had my best career average in Fenway Park. I love hitting there, and the Of course, my favorite part of center field is only 380 feet to center field. So it was just a chip shot if you get up in the air and blowing out towards center.
Wow. It's incredible, you know, to tie the two great loves that you have, baseball and radio, together like this. And for the World Radio Team Championship, for you to do that, and I know they're very thankful that you're participating and will be part of the event. What do you think about this, Bob?
Well, I think we need to charter a plane, put a whole bunch of people in it, and head up there. That would be really great. What a time! Thank you for doing that for all the ham radio friends, and there'll be a lot of people there, I'm sure. I know that you're going to have a lot of fun, and you're going to be worth a lot to the U.S. team at WRTC also. And I sure wish that we could be there. And Joe, tell us a little bit about your amateur radio side. Like, you're really into major contesting in CW. You kind of traded your baseball glove for a key, didn't you?
I really did. I was very fortunate that, you know, I started out playing with radios. Tim and I were sort of comparing notes when we were kids of, building crystal radio sets and listening on the radios at night to see how far away we could hear stations coming in at night. My grandma's old round top radio back probably in the early 50s. And I was fortunate enough to move up next to some hams that in Danville, near outside Oakland, where we lived there, and they all helped me get my ham license and started carrying on the road. Like I said, it just sort of kept my interest kept increasing every year. And when I left the A's to go down to the Angels in between 76, 77, we went up to Oregon and bought a ranch up there. And fortunately, had plenty of room to build towers and started adding towers there and got interested in contesting. And it's been great, especially for me getting out of baseball. A lot of guys have a very hard time changing from being a ball player to a, you know, a normal lifestyle, I guess you would call it, being home all the time. And ham radio has just been a godsend for me because it just gave me something to look forward to. A lot like baseball, going, you know, you're planning ahead, trying to think about what you're going to, you know, do to get ready for the next contest. You know, how can I improve my station? And then I've always worked multi-op almost always and trying to get all the guys in there and planning our strategy and getting all ready for the contest. And it's just been a lot of fun. It's hard to explain for people that haven't really done it consistently, but it gets better every year.
Well, it's part of that whole thing where you were competitive in your baseball career, very competitive, and that gene is still within you, and amateur radio is a way to continue that, and I really understand what that's all about. How old were you when you got your first license?
Boy, I think it was in my late 20s. I'm trying to remember. It had to be early in 1975, I believe, was when I got my license. It's almost 40 years ago. It's hard to remember anymore. But probably in my late 20s, I believe, when I got my first license and got my novice license and just worked my way up to extra. And in the beginning, I didn't really have time to get too much into CW. The older I've gotten, the more and more I've become a CW op. And I just enjoy it a lot more. It's a little more of a challenge, and you can sure work a lot more people on CW than the voice. It goes a lot further, and it's just, I guess it's one of those things that sort of grows on you as you get older.
You like 160 meters. You like the top band, close to the AM broadcast band, too.
Yeah, that is my favorite band. Most of the time during the contest, I always take the night shifts. I'm either on 80 or 160 if I can get it. Depends on who's there, and you know, I try to let the guys have their choice of the bands, and most of the time they like to sleep, and I like to stay up all night and operate. So it's my wife is very forgiving and allows me to sleep during the daytime so I can be on at night. But 160 is a really great band. It's very challenging.
That's great. Well, the thing about that, and you mentioned it, Joe, is many of us have our wonderful partners and wives to thank for allowing us to have all of this fun. But we have to release the energy somehow, and you certainly have found the way to go from your one career to another, and I applaud you for all that you do in amateur radio, and thank you so much for taking the time tonight. And I guess we thank your wife for you guys stopping by with that great contest station there in Pennsylvania. So be careful. You know, you always want to make sure that you don't go there in the daytime because Tim likes to have you go out and climb one of his 200-foot towers and tune an antenna. But I guess you don't have to do that this time, right?
Yeah, we had some very good weather out here tonight, and so we got to walk around, and it was all Joe could do to stay away from climbing up the 40-meter tower to give it an inspection.
Drooling a lot, Bob.
But we're sure thankful to have Joe and Joe's wife Sharon here this evening, and they're going to celebrate being married 50 years here very shortly. So.
It's
incredible life to have four grown kids that have turned out all great, a super career, and the best hobby in the world, amateur radio.
It is a great hobby. Like I said, it's been just, I met so many great people. I mean, it's amazing the cross-section of people that are involved in ham radio, and you just never know who you're going to run into, and that's excitement to turn on the radio. That's a great thing about ham radio. I still, after 40 years of being a ham, I turn on that radio and just you almost feel the hair going up on the back of your neck, just tuning around and seeing who's on there tonight and where is it going. It's a great hobby.
It is truly magic, and we're thankful, Bob, you're able to make room on the show for us this evening, and we can't wait to see the rest of the show here tonight.
Well, we've got a lot of other things coming, and I appreciate you guys coming on. We look forward to seeing you next week, Tim. You're going to be up at the headquarters and the whole mecca of what's going to happen in this Olympics ham radio. And a lot of guys don't know much about WRTC, and we're trying to bring them up on it. And Fred and Anita were on talking about some of it, and we've had we've had a lot of interest in it. So next week it starts. So you don't want to miss next week. And I thank you very much for being there, Joe. Tim, especially thanks to you for setting this all up from K3LR. And we'll talk to you guys next week from the headquarters.
73, Bob.
Okay. 73, everybody. That was fantastic, and I appreciate you doing that. Well, we got to move down and make sure Don is happening. So he's got something to talk about, I think something about Illegal Eagle, but let's see what's happening. Don, take her away.
Yeah, what a thrill to have Joe Rudy on tonight. You know, my aunt and uncle lived in the Bay Area. They lived in San Pablo. When I was a kid back in the late 60s, early 70s, we would go and visit them, and the only Major League Baseball game I've ever seen was at Oakland. It was the A's, and it was back then when Joe was playing. So such a thrill. Joe, thanks for being on tonight. You know, you got a plan for your future. Let's talk about LegalZoom. You do financial planning. You have insurance. But do you get real peace of mind? You got to make sure that your family and your finances are legally protected. So where do you turn for legal help that you can trust? Very important, LegalZoom.com. They've been helping Americans get personalized wills, powers of attorney, and living trusts for over 13 years. LegalZoom will also help you protect your assets with LLCs, S-corporations, trademarks, real estate documents, whatever you need. The service was developed by some of the best legal minds in the country. They make it painless, absolutely painless, for you to get the legal protection that you need. Visit LegalZoom. They'll take care of you from A to Z. It's the modern way to get legal help. They've also received an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau. Now, LegalZoom was developed by top attorneys to provide self-help services at your specific direction, but they're not a law firm. Legal help is furnished through vetted independent attorneys. So what you need to do is visit LegalZoom.com. You use the offer code HAMNATION. You will save on your legal needs. You'll also get access to a network of legal plan attorneys for guidance. Protect your family. Protect your future at LegalZoom.com now. Use offer code HAMNATION. LegalZoom.com, offer code HAMNATION. You'll get $10 off at checkout. LegalZoom, thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. Now, let's go to the video with Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1924, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, July 2nd, 2014. A bill has been introduced in Congress aimed at making more wireless spectrum available for unlicensed national information infrastructure Wi-Fi devices that operate in the 5 gigahertz band. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, has more.
Florida Senator Marco Rubio has introduced a bill to free up more unlicensed wireless spectrum in the upper portion of the 5 gigahertz band. On June 19th, Rubio teamed with New Jersey Senator Cory Booker to introduce the Wi-Fi Innovation Act as part of an overall wireless broadband expansion plan that he had recently outlined. The new Wi-Fi expansion measure would direct the FCC to move swiftly in seeking comments and conducting testing to assess the feasibility of opening the 5.850 to 5.925 gigahertz band for unlicensed use. The amateur radio service holds a secondary allocation from 5.650 to 5.925 gigahertz. This includes the amateur satellite uplinks from 5.65 to 5.67 gigahertz and a downlink from 5.83 to 5.85 gigahertz. If the Wi-Fi Innovation Act were to be approved as currently written, it would clearly have an impact on amateur radio operations in the upper portion of the 5 gigahertz band.
Earlier this year, the FCC acted to free up unlicensed spectrum in the lower part of the 5 gigahertz band. At the same time, it also made known that it wants to do the same in the upper portion as long as it does not interfere with incumbent primary users. Still with microwaves.
Using both single sideband and digital modes on the 78 gigahertz or the 4 millimeter band, Alan Devlin, VK3XPD, and David Smith, VK3HZ, have set new microwave distance records down under. The new records were set on May 15th. VK3XPD was on Mount William in Western Victoria State, and VK3HZ was in Melbourne's Mount Dendenberg Observatory. Their efforts resulted in a new Australian record path of 139.8 kilometers. In addition to a contact on single sideband, the digital JT65C mode proved quite effective over the path.
Hal Rogers, K8CMD, reporting. Solar researchers are now dubbing the sun's recent activity as a mini-max because the maximum period of activity so far has been shorter than usual. Sunspots are now showing up, and lower-density areas are appearing in the sun's corona. This current situation demonstrates how hard it is to accurately forecast a solar cycle. This cycle's strange peak appears to have its roots in 2008 and 2009, when sunspot numbers were far lower than scientists expected. Solar flares, which are associated with sunspot numbers and the sun's magnetic activity, were also relatively quiet in that same time frame. The average for a solar cycle from minimum to maximum and back to minimum is in theory 11 years. However, it can actually take between 9 and 14 years. The current solar cycle is expected to start fading in 2015, but will likely go out with some increased activity. Historically speaking, there are usually strong flares leading to numerous auroras on Earth at the end of the solar peak because particles from the sun strike our planet's magnetic lines and excite gases in the upper atmosphere. Ron Turner of Analytic Services Incorporated is a senior science advisor for NASA's Innovative Advanced Concepts Program. He summed it up by saying that the current cycle 24 is one of the weakest in the 24 cycles since 1755. A dozen new ham radio birds are now on orbit thanks to a successful launch June 19th. Again, here's Hal Rogers.
The ham radio satellites were part of the 37-satellite payload carried aloft from a complex near Dombrowski in the Russian Federation. Of the many satellites on board, the two QB-50 CubeSats were among the first deployed at 1932 UTC. Shortly thereafter, CW signals were received by André van Deventer, ZS-2BK, in South Africa. It's expected that the ham radio transponders on these birds will be activated after the science missions have been completed. Many of the other satellites on the launch have also been heard and confirmed to be in space.
You'll find a link to frequencies and modes for all the new birds in the full edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for over 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
73, Don. And, you know, all of us, most of us went out and had a great field day this past weekend. And we're going to be back to talk about that in just a moment. But right now, this message from ICOM.
Some great D-Star radios have entered the market in the last year, but let's not forget all the solid analog radios out there. From radios strictly on 2 meters to dual banders with analog capability, ICOM has your complete analog solution. Check out ICOM's compact military rugged 2-meter IC23H mobile, 65 watts of stable output. Oversized tuning dial is easy to use. It's got 4.5 watts of loud audio, 207 memory channels, and multiple scan options. Consider the ICV8000 for your next mobile adventure on 2 meters, 75 watts of output power, a rugged die-cast aluminum chassis, and fast memory scanning with dynamic memory scan. ICOM's new ID5100A is a VHF-UHF dual-band transceiver with built-in D-Star. It's got a large 5.5-inch touchscreen with software keypad and SD card slot, 50 watts of output on both VHF and UHF, integrated GPS receiver, simultaneous to-receive capability, and an optional UT133 Bluetooth unit that supports hands-free communications and an Android app. Looking for rugged, easy-to-use handhelds with plenty of memory channels, loud audio, and long-lasting battery life? The ICV80 and the V80 HD is a 2-meter handheld with 5.5 watts of high power. A built-in BTL amplifier helps deliver 750 milliwatts of loud audio, and the HD version includes radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and a rapid charger for up to 19 hours of operation. The ICT70A HD is a dual-band transceiver for classic operation on 2 meters and 70 centimeters. Like the V80 HD, this version includes the radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and the rapid charger for up to 19 hours of operation. It's easy to program with a simple keypad, large backlit alphanumeric display, and it has 700 milliwatts of loud and clear audio. Why not take a look today? Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's analog ham radio selection.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register. You'll automatically be interested. You'll automatically be entered in the weekly contest to win some great swag prizes from the icomswagstore.com. And also you'll be registered to win the monthly grand prize, which is a radio. And for June, Bob Twiggs, WA3YRI in New Jersey, won an ID880H. Congratulations, Bob. And for July, they've got another great prize. That's going to be the ICOM ID51A, that full-featured dual-watch VHF-UHF handy talkie with D-Star, integrated GPS, automatic repeater list-up, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this episode and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Well, you know, as I mentioned a moment ago, we went out and did field day this year. A lot of us did. And I've got a couple of videos here. One comes from our friend Randy, K7AGE, where he went out and did a little bit of SSTV.
Hello, this is Randy, K7AGE, out at the Nevada County Amateur Radio Club field day. And I brought along my 2-meter FM slow scan stuff. Several of the previous videos I've shown some of the stuff about interfacing of sound cards and computers to radios and such. And then I talked about the planning of building the Easy Digi interface here. And the last video that was on Ham Nation, I actually soldered all that up. So today I brought everything out here in the park. And so what I have here behind me is my laptop running MMSSTV connected in through a Tigertronics SignalLink USB to my FT817. Then I have my iPhone connected through one of the Easy Digi interfaces to an ICOM, what I have here, a T70, the dual band HT. And I have another ICOM HT, my V80, connected through another Easy Pal or Easy Digi interface to my iPad. So I'm going to take the phone and go over to a couple of the operating positions and I'll take a picture and send it back here to the laptop via slow scan TV.
You're awesome, Andy. You're awesome. Someday I want to be like you.
And there's a picture of Cody working the station. So I came in here on 2-meter FM with it using my iPhone as the camera and my laptop here with MMSSTV. Okay, now we'll transmit a picture from the other station here, set up at field day. came through good. And I'm also receiving the pictures through the ICOM V80 through the other Easy Digi interface to my iPad. And on the iPad and the iPhone, I'm running SSTV from Black Cat Systems. And that software costs a whopping $2.99. So here we are sending a picture live through the air. And of course, every field day needs one of these. Okay, so we sent a few pictures from the operating positions here at the field day setup and received it on the laptop with MMSS TV, free software, and on the iPad using SSTV from Black Cat Systems. You get it through the iTunes store for $2.99. So, again, the phone is interfaced through the Easy Digi interface. Wires everywhere here. So I have my iPhone and the ICOM HT here. So that's why I was walking around the field day site here, taking pictures and sending them back over to the picnic bench here. So I'll turn it back over to the Ham Nation crew, and thanks for watching.
Well, thanks, Randy. Looks like you had a lot of fun there, and I could see that you were out in the woods for field day this year. Well, Tommy, Wayne, and I did the same thing. We went way out in the country and did field day this year. Last time I did that was 3 years ago, and we had a blast. Here's just a short little video on the setup that I use for most of the contests.
What time is it?
10 o'clock.
Well, it's 10 p.m. Central Time. You can hear the crickets and the generator running. And the things are going better now. We are starting to pick up a few more contacts. We're working 20 meters. Tommy's got PSK going. Wayne has been working some 80-meter single sideband. And he's just worked W1AW/3. I've been working on 40 meters and just switched over to 15. And 15 seems to be a pretty good band for me on this mystery antenna.
Well, I've mostly been on 40 meters, and I just switched over a minute ago to 15 meters, and it seems to be open right now, and there's not a lot of people on top of each other, so I've been having a little bit of luck there. I've got my laptop, of course, running the squirrel logger. I've got this little 30-amp MSJ switching power supply that we've shown you several times, and this is the first time I've really taken one of these out and used it, and it's been working well. I got my little old LDG Z100 auto-tuner. I don't think they even make this one anymore. I've got a no-name handy-talkie here. I've got my IC7000. I pulled it out of the truck just because I knew it was going to be a great radio for field day, and it has been proven out to be a great one. I've got my Heil headsets, of course, because we're all sitting in here in this little tent, and they help. Everybody having headphones helps.
Yeah, no doubt. Gordo says don't do the external speaker, right?
That's what Gordo says.
And the frogs.
Yeah. And I got my little voice keyer box that I built here so that I can just punch it and it'll call CQ for me. I really haven't been able to use that much. I just moved 15. When I was on 40, the bands were so busy, I just couldn't find a frequency to operate on. And I tried a few frequencies, but I wasn't really getting any response, and somebody else jumped there and started calling CQ on the same frequency. So I've mostly just been operating by, you know, finding people who are already on and trying to make contact with them. But I may go on 15 meters here, and I might try calling CQ on there a little bit and see what kind of luck I have. That's the setup here, and it's worked well so far. Got a couple other radios out in the truck. I might bring them out tomorrow and play with them a little bit and see how they work.
Well, as I said, we had a great time there. And I've got a lot more video of that. Tommy and I are going to be streaming the next Amateur Logic live this Saturday at noon Central Time. If you'd like to watch that, we'll go to amateurlogic.tv and you'll find the link there to watch the video at that time. You know, I asked a question last week for field day. You know, my crew was planning on operating three stations with a generator, and we're not a club. What would our class be? And I got an answer from that. It's from Stacy Kirkpatrick, KB7YYY, and he said, your station was 3A. Have a great field day, and I hope you work W7TD. Well, I didn't get to work them. I went back and checked the logs, and we never contacted them. But we did make a lot of contacts on 80, 40 meters, 20, 15, and 10 meters. So band propagation was good in our part of the country, although I heard from other folks that it wasn't so good where they were. But worked out pretty good for us this year. Stacy, you're going to win this HACO soldering station here, courtesy of our friends whose QSO card I just dropped, N0IRS, JD up in Kansas City, Missouri. He sent this to us. You're really going to enjoy that. That is a nice station. You get a roll of solder with it, too. Not the new stuff. This is genuine lead solder here, and a pair of wire snippers, too. And for next week, I've got a great prize here. This comes from Chameleon Antennas, and it's... Let's see what the number is. This is a CHA hybrid micro. It's got the matching hybrid here and a 60-foot long cable with it. And this is a copper-clad cable. And all the hardware is stainless steel. This thing looks well machined. I have not tried it yet. I did have some of these for field day or with me at field day. They're actually prizes for you, but I didn't string one of them up. I'd thought about it. But it's supposed to work from 1.8 megahertz to 54 megahertz with 60 foot. So interesting idea there. Might work out for some people who have space limitations there. If you'd like to win that, then answer this question. And you might have to go back and watch this episode of Ham Nation after it's been released, probably Thursday evening. What frequency was my rig on? If you can answer that, then send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win this chameleon antenna here. And right now, let's go back to Bob and kind of put the wrapper on things here.
Hey, that was a great field day thing. You guys look like you're having fun, and I'll be looking forward to next week. Was it Saturday? Is it Saturday, George, that you're going to do your live video? You and the man. Yeah, Saturday at noon. Is that right?
That's right. Saturday at noon, we'll be streaming it live, and you can just go over to amateurlogic.tv. We'll have the link there. We use YouTube streaming for hours, so you don't know the link until you actually get the stream started up. But we'll have that there then, and we'll have the chat room. You know, we only do it once a month, so we kind of have to get to work out ahead of time because it's always a different time every month. But we'll have a lot of fun, a lot of great things that we did there at Field Day, and a little history of the site that we were at as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, we'll try to be around for that. And I think we need to see if Dale is around. He has some great videos and stills. Dale, are you with us tonight?
We're sure here, Bob. Good to see you. Good to see George. Thank you both. We've got on our souvenir hat from Scotland when we were docked in Greenock there. We were supposed to meet up with James Bertram, GM0 GMN, but unfortunately our shore excursion got back to the ship late, and we were unable to meet there. So we wore the Scotland souvenir hat in his honor this evening. Well, tonight we've got a broadcast ad for Field Day. It's a pretty good one, too. A Field Day report from Fox City's Amateur Radio Club. And we've got an 8-year-old making a Field Day contact with the International Space Station. We've received a number of photos late today from different clubs about their Field Day activities. They came in too late to prepare for broadcast this week. If you have a video now or photos from your Field Day activities, do send them in to Ham Nation Videos at twit.tv during the next week. And then Bob, Gordo, Don, and I will get together, compile them into a full Field Day report here on Ham Nation 2 weeks from tonight. Well, let's get things rolling this evening with a short 30-second broadcast commercial. It was produced by David Mize, and he was promoting the Field Day at the Tuscaloosa Amateur Radio Club.
When somebody says they're having a field day, it usually means they're having a really good time. Amateur radio operators across North America will take part in their annual Field Day event June 28th and 29th. Ham radio is more popular than ever. With its combination of electronics and communication skills, it's no wonder that ham radio remains a national resource and a whole lot of fun.
Join us June 28th and 29th, the Tuscaloosa Amateur Radio Club Field Day. For more information, you can log on at w4xi.org.
Well, thanks, David, and that's a nice public relations effort for the Tuscaloosa amateurs. Let's move now on to an after-action report for the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club up in Wisconsin. Here's our Ham Nation Videos webmaster, Dan, N9LVS.
Field Day 2014. The Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club held their annual Field Day event at the Outagamie-Coney Conservation Club near Appleton, Wisconsin. So how do you get a field that looks like this into a field that looks like this? A lot of work. Get the tent out of the box and start putting it together. And sometimes you have to come up with unconventional ways of putting things together. Then it's time to launch the antennas and get them in the air, which can be an uplifting experience. Once we got the antennas up, the sun started to go down. And all you can do then is have a little bonfire. The next morning comes, and everything gets set up for Field Day itself. Then there's time for a quick meeting, and then with help from Karen, WB9ZNA, and her kitchen volunteers, as well as Amanda Hine from the Outagamie County Conservation Club, we had a nice noon lunch with all the fixings to keep our energy up for Field Day itself. Then it's time to plug in the battery, plug in the solar panel, and get W9ZL 3 Alpha Wisconsin on the air and start sniffing out those elusive contacts. Our CW operators take Field Day very seriously, and the phone stations are busy right from the start, as well as our second phone station, our 6-meter station, and the CW guys waste no time in getting in the hunt. We also ran a slow scan TV setup. We even had a fox hunt. As a club, we treat Field Day more as a social event than a contest, as well as a nice, wholesome family event, where daughters can teach fathers, fathers can teach sons, and the whole family can have a good time. It was a race most of the day to see if the two voice stations could keep up with the CW station. Then we got into evening, and 20 meters started to die down, and 80 meters picked up. We even got in a little 40-meter digital. And some of the younger guys ran the HF bands for the overnight. Then morning came, and we got a little visit from the Outagamie County Sheriff's Department. And the president of the club, Gary KB9AIT, as well as a few other local hams, gave him a tour of the Field Day site. After the visit, it was back to business, looking for that elusive contact. If you worked W9ZL on CW, most likely the person on the other side of the key was Jack, KK0I, or Gary, W9HM, but it could have been Susie, AC9FA, our 11-year-old extra, who's also a CW operator. When it comes right down to it, ham radio is all about fun, and that's one thing that we have with Field Day. With the Foxy's Amateur Radio Club, we have a lot of fun. Then it's time to tear everything down, pack everything up for next year, and put the grounds back the way we found them in the first place. So they'll be ready for Field Day 2015.
Well, thanks, Dan. Some nice photos there, and a great job. And thanks also for the great job with the Ham Nation Videos website and the Ham Nation Wiki website. Well, to wrap up videos tonight, we feature 8-year-old Bennett Harris. He's working the International Space Station during Field Day. His dad is N5BDQ, and that video was submitted to Ham Nation by Steve Parks.
Okay, we're starting to hear him. See, we can hear him. Can you hear that?
That's the spaceship.
We can hear him.
This can be...
Go ahead.
Whiskey 5, Alpha Uniform Yankee, go to station.
Priceless, and I bet Bennett will never forget that contact or this field day. Well, that's it for the video segment tonight. The club website of the week returns 2 weeks from now. Go ahead and send your nominations in. All of us at Ham Nation hope to compile a comprehensive Field Day 2014 report for broadcast on July 16th. To make this possible, please send your videos and photos with descriptions to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. And do check out the Ham Nation video guidelines at hamnationvideos.info. Well, have a great week. Coming up next, we need to check in, find out about all the latest great buys at DX Engineering. With that information, here's Don.
Thank you, Dale. Good stuff. Man, I love all the Field Day videos. I love the young hams. Oh, just so much. Oh. All right, let's get back to business. I got a question for you. Why do so many serious contesters, MCOM operators and hams and Field Day operators trust ICOM radios? Because ICOM has unparalleled performance. It's as simple as that. And the company's demonstrated that they have a genuine and unique commitment to amateur radio, and they continue to innovate and push the boundaries of our hobby. That's why ICOM is so good. You can say the same thing about DX Engineering. As one of the world's premier ICOM dealers, DX Engineering offers virtually every ICOM amateur radio, including the brand new IC7100. This is a great radio, the 7100. HF, VHF, UHF, and D-Star. It's all mode, upper lower sideband, RIDI, CW, AM, and FM. We'll also receive wideband FM. And using D-Star, you can operate digital voice and data on VHF and UHF. And the 7100 packs 100 watts from 163.6, 50 watts on 2, 35 watts on 70. Perhaps the neatest feature is this huge touchscreen LCD display. The numbers are extremely easy to read. The buttons are large. They're perfect for fat fingers. And right now you can get your fat hands on big savings on select ICOM radios at DX Engineering. Just call them, see how much you can save. You can also get your ICOM accessories from DX Engineering as well. Make sure your ICOM radio works to its full potential with genuine ICOM peripherals like mics, belt clips, battery chargers, adapters, headsets, battery packs, everything you need. And Balans. Now, ICOM doesn't make Balans, but if they did, they would be just as good as ComTech Balans. But ComTech is amazing. ComTech Balans provide a superb match between unbalanced coax cable and balanced antennas. They also offer superior SWR across all the HF bands. They're available in 1-to-1 and 4-to-1 ratios with single or dual cores. Depending on your application, it'll handle the legal limit with a large safety factor. Prefer your Balans selection. Balance selection can be complicated, so just call DX Engineering and get the proper advice. Also, InShack jumper cables. I use those around here. They're ideal for maximizing the efficiency of your station from DX Engineering. They're perfect for portable, mobile installation, short InShack jumper cables, complete with connectors. Even have lugs, ring lugs on those things. I've got one of those around here. Flexible jacket. Makes installation very easy. Lots of links are available, too. If you want to grab any of this great stuff from ICOM, ComTech, or a DX Engineering cable, or anything they have, get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern. If it's in stock, DX Engineering will get it on a truck headed your way tonight with proven products, expert advice, the fastest shipping in the industry, and, of course, K3LR behind it all. DX Engineering is helping you shrink the globe. Grab your catalog, shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. And DX Engineering, thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. Great stuff at DX Engineering. We love them, and we're so proud that they're a part of Ham Nation. And Tim Duffy bringing us Joe Rudy tonight. Bob, back to you.
All right. Well, it's been a lot of fun seeing all the field day things together. I'm looking forward to next week because we're going to have a lot of that. Plus, the WRTC thing is going to be happening. So be sure you check in next week and see what's going to happen here. I want to run back to George. George, did you have some other things that you want to do for us tonight? Let me go back to you and see what's going on there.
Oh, that's pretty much it, Bob. I've been working on a lot of different things here. You know, I've got a lot of video from several different events I've been to recently, plus some new products like this new MFJ, I guess it's ultrasonic detector that you use for aiming at power poles to find those insulators. Yeah. And I just checked the band over here. I need to take this thing out tonight and look around, I think.
Look around. Okay, well, it is such a great job, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys Saturday and see what's going to happen on the Amateur Logic this week. Well, I also want to remind everybody, please get some videos. Get the cameras out, and we don't want to hear about this stuff. Well, we don't do very good. Hey, none of us are great like George. We know that. And Randy and George, they already have the trophies for the best video, so the rest of it just kind of wander in. But we want to see what you're doing. At least take some pictures and send them in so we can have Dale get them all rounded up. He's really good at all that stuff. So Ham Nation Videos, just put all the address together, Ham Nation Videos at twit.tv. Is that right, Dale?
That's it, yes. Ham Nation Videos at twit.tv. Send them in. Send a link to your videos. And for the pictures, just go ahead and attach the photos to the email. We'll try to compile all the photos into one video, and one of us, either Don or Gordo or myself, will narrate the still photos, and then hopefully we'll get some videos in. We'll take clips of the best of all the videos that we get in and put it into one field day comprehensive video. How's it sound, Bob?
Yeah, that's just great. That's what I wanted to hear, and I know everybody else is looking at the address, and they'll get that all together while they get their cameras out. So join us next week, because we're going to be having another special show from the WRTC, the Olympics of Ham Radio. This is a very serious event. There'll be operators from around the globe teaming up and seeing who can operate the best. And so Tim Duffy's going to be there. Jim Rudy, Ray's going to be there. All kinds of really top operators. So be sure and join us next week. We'll learn more about what WRTC is all about. So that about winds it up here. Victor, thank you very much for sitting in for Brian. Brian has a very special day tomorrow. I appreciate you taking care of things so well, and that went good. Don, anything else you got to leave us with from down south?
I just checked into the D-Star net on 14 Charlie, so we've got the nets going on. Of course, the radio nets and also the digital nets on D-Star and also on Echolink. Echolink, the star do drop in, node 355-800, and of course it's 14 Charlie here on D-Star. And I think George may have the analog radio frequencies for us, George.
Yeah, I don't have the 40-meter frequency tonight. It's usually around 7.278, be somewhere in that neighborhood. I did verify that 20 meters is on 14.267 tonight. And we've got Echo Link, star do drop in, star node number 355-800. Enjoyed it, everyone. Catch some of y'all Saturday at noon on AmateurLogic.tv. Bob, Don, Dale, Gordo, everyone have a good week, and we'll see you back here next week. I think I may be out of town. I'll have to let you know on that one.
Okay, same here. But I'll be here next week. Then I'm heading to Canada, and I'm looking forward to going up and seeing a bunch of our Canadian friends at the Milton Hamfest. I'm really looking forward to that. And we're off to some other places up in the wilds of Canada. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Pass the word about Ham Nation. We have a lot of fun here. It keeps amateur radio alive. Thanks very much to Tim. To putting that together at K3LR with Joe Rudy. Joe, I hope to work you on the air someday. Appreciate all of your excitement that you bring to amateur radio. So 7-3, everybody. We'll see you on 38-47 after a while, and I might make 40 meters. Let's see what's going to happen. But check in, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye for now. This is K9EID.